Our text for this evening you'll find in verse 42 of the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And these are the words of our text. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Now we have been throughout the last evenings, since Sunday afternoon at 3:30 in the afternoon, looking into various questions from the Bible. The first of those questions, you recall, was God's first recorded question to humanity. Where art thou? Now tonight we come to a question asked by the Lord Jesus Christ unto those who were His enemies. The question that He asked was, what think ye of Christ? In the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the time that He began to preach at 30 until He was crucified at 33, He managed to make some very good friends. And He also managed to make some very, very bitter enemies. And the most outstanding of His enemies we find in our reading this evening. Because you recall to mind, if you look with me back to verse 15, that our reading started with the Pharisees coming with a question with which they hoped to oppose Christ and entangle Him in His talk. Now, they were the most arch, ultra-orthodox, and conservative of their day. They were the teachers of the people. Their very name means separatist. And they were against what Christ had to say and sought to entangle Him in their talk. They sent their disciples along with the Herodians. Herodians were primarily a political party. And they sent the Herodians along. And they attempted to bring Him to grief over the questions that they posed Him. Then, beyond that, we find that after them came the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were what we would term the religious liberals of their day, or those who were the apostate theologians, if you will. They didn't believe in the supernatural, basically. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in angels, and so therefore, they posed this question to Him, hoping to stump Him in His speech as well. Then after they were done, along came the Pharisees again, having heard in verse 34 that the Sadducees had been put to silence. And then they came along with another question about the law. And one of them, which was a lawyer in verse 35, asked Him that question, tempting Him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, you'll find that these various groups of people who were, in fact, the very bitter enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, were the very ones who, in human terms, at the end, orchestrated His crucifixion. So, these enemies hated Him and ultimately hated Him unto the death. Christ was not intimidated by them. Christ, as we would say, fronted them up or faced them. And in facing them, He asked them a question. Now, they'd all had their turn. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came to ask them a question, this is the question that He asked them. What think ye of Christ, whose Son is He? Now, in the context, the question that He's asking is a question which would have challenged their presuppositions about the Messiah, would have challenged their presuppositions about Him, that is, Jesus Christ Himself. And so, by challenging their presuppositions, and by putting the question the way that He did, and the passage that follows, He was able to put them to silence, because they fancied themselves to be great authorities when it came to the law of God. And He speaks to them out of the Old Testament and uses that the passage of Scripture to which He refers to silence them and their questions and to cause them to go away ashamed, unable to ask any more questions. But what I want to do with this particular text this evening is not to delve into the ramifications of what Christ was attempting to prove on this occasion by what He said to these unbelievers, or what He was in the process of getting them to face about their own sinfulness. Rather, what I want to do this evening is to take this question, what think ye of Christ, and rather than to address it to them in their situation, I want to address it to you in your situation as one who has come into the house of God this evening to hear the Word of God. Because this question transcends its context in many respects. It is a question that should be posed to every individual regardless of who you are. You ought to have posed to you this question, and you ought to consider what your answer is as to what think ye of Christ. Because it is important, first, that you think of Christ, and it's important not only that you think of Christ, but it's also important that what you think of Christ is true, that it's accurate, that it is not some fable or fairy tale. And also, it is more important even yet that what you think of Jesus Christ results in the salvation of your eternal soul. So with those things in mind this evening, I want you to consider this text of Scripture with me. And we're going to just take it, as it were, word by word, or just small part of phrase by small part of phrase, and break it up just a little bit. And the first part of this text I want you to consider with me is this part where it says, think ye of Christ. Think ye of Christ. That is, that it is important that you think of Christ. It's important that you think of Christ. You say, well, doesn't everybody? No, absolutely not. In fact, the Scripture gives us example of people who pass through life with no thought for Christ. I personally know people who, in my experience of them, have never ever given any indication that they have had any serious thought whatsoever of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the rich fool in Luke in chapter 12, there in verse 16 through 21. He was an individual entirely consumed with his property. He was a farmer, and his fields brought forth abundantly, and he was able to successfully harvest and have a great deal of grain. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns, and then I'm going to fill those barns up, and then I'm going to sit at my leisure. I'm going to tell myself that my soul should take its ease. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry. He had no thought whatsoever for the Lord Jesus Christ. God said to him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then who shall these things be which thou hast laid up? But that story is not the only story like it. That story of the rich fool we could recount in many different forms throughout the course of history and right up to the day in which we live. Herod, I don't believe, had any serious thought for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ultimately thinking himself or enjoying people's adulation when they considered him to have the voice of a god and not of a man was struck down by God and gone. And you can look throughout the Scripture and you can see that there are a host of people there, whether it be Nabal or Og the king of Bashan or other people who had no real serious thought about the things of God. And if we translate that into our own day and time, what you will find is this, is that there are a whole host of people who live their entire lives with no serious thought whatsoever for the Lord Jesus Christ. They never think of Christ at all. I have, as I said, people of my own acquaintance who are very, very much like that. My father had an interesting saying when I was growing up. He said, do you know what most people spend their lives being concerned with? They spend most of their lives being concerned with the three B's. They're thinking of their buildings and their bellies and their backs. And the longer I've watched humanity and the more I've considered how they behave, what I've come to the conclusion is that's very much what most people are concerned with. Where am I going to live? Their buildings. What am I going to eat? Their bellies. What am I going to wear? Their backs. Where am I going to eat? Well, I've got to be able to have a job so I can have the kind of house that I want to have. I can live in the place where I want to live. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And person after person after person in life that I run across indicates to me by how they live that those are some three of their primary concerns. And they will be concerned with their buildings. They will be concerned with their bellies. They will be concerned with their backs. They'll be concerned with where they're going to live, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear. And those things dominate their thinking, and they think nothing at all for Jesus Christ. Or they may go just a little beyond that, and their passions may rule their life. I have a particular individual of my acquaintance, a very likable individual, a person that I work with closely. And do you know what his passion is that rules his life? His passion is sports. If you get into a truck after he's been driving the truck and you turn the radio on, what's on the sports channel? He comes in on the after the weekend, and the first thing that he wants to talk about is the local is whatever was on the television over the weekend, having to do mostly with motorsports. He wants to talk about what the race was like. If the football's on, he wants to talk about the football. He's constantly consumed with this. No thought for Jesus Christ, but much thought for that which is his passion, which happens to be sport. There are other people, and you say, well, that person, he's not sports mad, you know, but he's work keen. He's work mad. All he ever wants to talk to about work. I used to work with a man in South Carolina, and it didn't make any difference where you went with him in the town. You could be totally away from work, and he'd still want to be talking about work. That's all he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about work while you were at work. He wanted to talk about work when you were walking out of work. He wanted to talk about work when you went someplace in town with him. And it was an entirely consuming thing to him, but he had no thought for Jesus Christ. Another man that I of my acquaintance, his consuming passion was that he was part of the Masonic Lodge. And so to him, that was all he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about being part of the Lodge, about going to the meetings, about what they did, about what sort of activities they were involved in. That's all he wanted to talk about. Now, I'm just merely pointing out to you that these people went through their lives, 1, 2, 3 that I can mention to you, not one of them that I could ever discern had any thought for Jesus Christ. So my first question to you this evening is this. Think ye of Christ? Have you yourself given any thought whatsoever to something else besides your buildings, your belly, your back, your passions, your interests? Have you given any serious thought whatsoever to Jesus Christ? Think ye of Christ? Now, I don't want to stop there. And the reason I don't want to stop there is because I don't think we ought to within the context of looking at this text. Because not only is it important that you think of Christ, but it is also important that what you think of Christ is true. It's important that what you think of Christ is true. There are many people who do have thoughts of Christ, but their thoughts are utterly and completely erroneous. Let me give you some examples of this from Scripture. John in chapter 7 and verse 12. There it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and people's opinion of Him. And this is what it says. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, nay, but He deceiveth the people. So during the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were differing opinions about Him. Some people said, well, He's a good man. Other people said, no, He deceives the people. So they were divided. Some looking at Him from the perspective of doing good, some looking at Him from the perspective of doing evil. Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 13, Christ asked the question to His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now the answer to that was that some said that He was John the Baptist. Some said that He was Elias, that is the reincarnation, or that He was Elijah come back. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So they all had choices, or they all had thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. They had some thought about Him, but on a practical level, many of the thoughts that these people thought about the Lord Jesus Christ were not true. They weren't accurate. He wasn't just a good man. He certainly wasn't a deceiver of the people. He wasn't Jeremiah. He wasn't Elijah come back. He wasn't John the Baptist risen from the dead. He wasn't merely one of the prophets. So you see, all of those opinions about the Lord Jesus Christ, these people had thought about Christ, but you see, what they thought about Christ wasn't true. It wasn't right. Now, I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, I'm not going to be satisfied if you can come and go from this meeting with no thought for Christ whatsoever. I hope that by the grace of God, even in the preaching, at least I've raised your consciousness by the power of the Holy Spirit to the extent that you would at least go forth thinking of Christ. But it wouldn't be good enough to me for me to get you to merely think about the Lord Jesus Christ if what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ isn't true. And there are a number of opinions yet about the Lord Jesus Christ that are being bandied about. Whether it be the controversy that's raised by some of the opinions that were set forth through things that were written like the Da Vinci Code and the Holy Blood, Holy Grail book that supports the idea that was used there, or whether it be some other opinion that some person might have about the Lord Jesus who says, well, you know, the Lord Jesus, he was just a good moral teacher. He just had some interesting ideas. He was a martyr for his cause. They have all sorts of opinions about the Lord Jesus Christ, many of which are totally erroneous. But I would submit to you this evening that you ought to think of the Lord Jesus Christ in several ways in order to arrive at the truth. Because I believe that Christ was one of three things. And I want you to consider this very carefully. Either He was a liar, or He was a lunatic, or He was Lord. Those are pretty much your three choices as far as I can tell. If Christ was a liar and everything that He said was not true, then He was one of the most successful, if not the most successful liar in the history of the world. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Or He would have been a lunatic. He would have had delusions about being God and the Son of God and all the rest of that. And He would have been just delusional. So either He was a liar, and a successful liar, a religious charlatan, someone who could be written off. Or He was a lunatic. That is, He was deluded Himself, that He didn't have any idea of what He was doing or saying in the sense of being rational or reasonable. Or He was exactly who He said He was. Art thou not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, before Abraham was, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is one of those three things, and I believe that the first two are completely erroneous ideas about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was more than just a moral teacher. He was more than just a martyr for His cause. He was more than just a philosopher. He was more than any other individual has ever been in all of history. He was very God of very God, and also truly man. He was, in fact, exactly who He said He is, the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto God but by Him. It's important not just that you think of Christ. It is important that what you think of Christ is true. And the truth of the Word of God is this. Christ said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He said of His sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. He said He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. And the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is demonstration that He is everything that He said that He is. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ was such, even as we spoke about a few nights ago, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was such that not one fault could be found in Him. Not one spot, not one blemish. And then the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was that which satisfied the penalty of the law. And He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is the truth about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is exactly who He declares Himself to be. Our prophet, our priest, and our king. Nathanael called Him the Holy One of Israel, as John called Him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is that Word which was in the beginning. He is the beginning and the end. He is our Savior, our Lord and Master, the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, it's not just important to me tonight that you think something about Christ. It's important that what you think of Christ is true. You see, you may spend your life, however, thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and yet still fall short of what you need, of where you need to go. You may spend your life not thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ at all, as that first individual to whom I referred. Or you may spend your life intellectualizing about the Lord Jesus Christ and yet never come to the point where you need to be. You may even spend your life admiring the Lord Jesus Christ and to some degree trying to imitate Him in some small way. But it's important that what you think of Christ results in the salvation of your eternal soul. It's not just important that you think of Christ. It's important that what you think of Christ results in the salvation of your eternal soul. Pilate was an individual who was unwillingly put as the judge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the enemies of Christ, those Pharisees, those Sadducees, those people who were His bitter enemies, those were, as I said, the people who in human terms organized and conspired to have Christ killed. And they ultimately took Christ to Pilate. Now Pilate was the Roman representative and he lived there in Jerusalem. Pilate didn't like the Jews. He didn't want to be there where he was. He didn't want to have to do what he had to do. But they took the Lord Jesus Christ and they sent Him to Pilate in the hopes that Pilate, who had the power of capital punishment, would kill Him. And ultimately, it was Pilate who bore the responsibility for having the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Now in Matthew in chapter 27, just a few pages over from where we are, in the 22nd verse, Pilate asks this question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Now in the context of that, the meaning's entirely different, really, in many respects, than the way I'm going to pick it up and use it this evening. And having said that, I want you to bear with me, if you would please. Because in that context, Pilate was trying to get rid of the Lord Jesus. In verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto Him, "Let Him be crucified." So that's the context of that question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He just wanted to know whether to release Barabbas or release Christ, or what to do with Christ, since they were wanting Barabbas to be released. But once again, if you take that question and you apply it in a broader context, and I take that question and apply it to you, then that's a question that you yourself need to ask this evening. It's a question that's a very worthwhile question. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You see, because if you say, "Well, you know, I've never really thought much about Christ before tonight, but now I've begun to think about Him. And as I've begun to think about Him, you've pointed out to me that it's important that what I think about the Lord Jesus Christ is true. And you've said that He's not a liar, and you've said that He's not a lunatic, and you've shown from the Word of God how He is, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, if I'm faced with that, and I'm faced with Him being the way, the truth, and the life, that apart from Him, there's no way for me to get to God, then I'm in a situation that I really have to do something now. But because I can't just not think about Christ anymore, I can't just intellectualize about Him anymore, I can't just philosophize about Him anymore, now I've actually got to do something with Him. So what am I going to do? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And that's the question that I want to ask you. First, it's important that you think of Christ. Second, it's important that what you think of Christ is true. Third, it's important that what you think of Christ results in the salvation of your eternal soul. So first, what think ye of Christ? And second, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with Christ? Are you either going to try to ignore Him and say, you know, I just don't want to think about Christ anymore? Are you going to just sit back and try to intellectualize about Him and philosophize about Him? And say, you know, I like to talk about Christ, I like to think about Him, but that's about as far as it ever goes. Or are you going to embrace Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel? The reason I say that is this. You either embrace Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel, or in a de facto way, you reject Him by saying, I elect to do nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't want to think about it. I'd rather just philosophize about it. I really don't want that much more to do with Christ than what I have already. So in essence, what you're saying is, by not accepting Christ, I reject Him. Christ made that fairly simple. He that is not with me is against me. I used to work with a Satan worshiper in an ironworks in North Glen, Colorado. He wasn't a really overt missionary proselytizing type of Satan worshiper, but he was one. And people used to say to me, how can you, a minister, Christian, work on a daily basis with a Satan worshiper? Well, for one thing, he was a very good iron worker. The other thing is this, that Travis, that was his name, understood that there was a choice to be made between Satan and Christ, and he'd made his choice. I didn't agree with his choice. I prayed for him. I witnessed to him when the opportunity arose. But you see, he had made his choice, and he had chose to worship Satan. I didn't agree with it. I thought it was wrong. But he'd made his choice. You may have never made that kind of choice. I mean, you wouldn't be a Satan worshiper. You wouldn't want to do that. I mean, that would be abhorrent to you in the extreme. But let me point out to you that by not embracing Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel, you've in a de facto way made the choice for the other side, even though you haven't gone anywhere nearly so far as Travis did. For Christ said, he that is not with me is against me. He that doesn't gather scatters abroad. So you see, it's not just important that you think something of Christ. And it's not just important that what you think of Christ is true. It's important that what you think of Christ results in the salvation of your eternal soul. Now, listen. I would rather come here night after night and say this to you over and over again than allow you to come into this gospel service night after night and go out and never be faced with it sufficiently that the Holy Spirit takes it and drives it into your heart and draws you out after Christ. I would rather be tedious, if that's what it takes to drive this home to your heart as the Holy Spirit does so, than to let you just come and go in here every night and hear a lot of interesting illustrations and go out of here unchanged. You have to do something with Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? And what are you going to do with this Lord Jesus Christ who's presented to you in the gospel? He's the only Redeemer of God's elect. He is, in fact, the way, the truth, and life. He is not a liar. He is not a lunatic. He is the Lord of glory. What are you then going to do with this Christ of whom we have been thinking this evening? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. What think ye of Christ?